Let's open our Bibles to John 10, 1. John 10, 1. God is good. Are we out there yet? Hello, everyone online. We're glad you're here. And we're going to John 10, 1. All right. Praise the Lord. I'll give you a good testimony that I had about 45 minutes ago. So I was just happened to pull up the flights that I'm going to take this summer to different places I'm going. And the flight when I'm going on vacation with my children, actually they had changed the flight and put it at a time that we would really not want to travel. And I was like, okay, this is not good. So I called up Robert at Southwest Airlines, and he answered right away. And so I actually got to book a flight that was nonstop to where we were going at better times. But listen to this. He said, now you'll have to pay the difference. So when he flipped over there to pay the difference, he said, oh, ma'am, these flights are less money. $1,000 less. Isn't that great? So I called my son. I said, hey, you want to go somewhere else too? Praise the Lord. John 10:1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the doorkeeper or the porter, I believe the King James says, opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. This is a familiar scripture to you. My sheep hear my voice, and another voice they will not follow. So say that with me. My sheep hear my voice, and another voice they will not follow. Praise the Lord. So you hear his voice. Now, not the fivefold ministry, not the prophet, not the pastor. They help get the message to you, but you hear God's voice. You hear God's voice. Now, we're talking about the heavenly realm. We're talking about working with the heavenly realm, talking about the glory. We're talking about arise, shine, for your light has come. First and foremost, get yourself to another level. And we talk about looking into the realm, into the heavenly realm. Well, I want to add this tonight. Listen into the realm. Be listening to the realm, which means that you're going to be listening to the Holy Spirit. He is the porter. He does open the door so that you can hear what Jesus, what Father is saying to you. John 16:13 said, he will guide you into all truth. He will declare, disclose, and transmit. I like that. He'll declare, so he's going to speak out and affirm something. He's going to disclose, which means he's going to reveal or unveil something. And he's going to transmit, which means he'll broadcast or pass on what you need to know. If you need to know something, he'll be with you. He'll let you know. So he'll declare, he'll disclose, he'll transmit all truth, it said. So what's that going to include? Well, that's going to include strategies, ideas, concepts, insights, inventions, information, revelation, wisdom. All those things would be included. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Amen. Amen. Church, we don't serve God and live under written regulations, but by the promptings of the Spirit. That's what we're called to do, isn't it? Not that we don't live by the Word. I'm not saying that, but we live by the prompting of the Spirit. It's the Spirit who prompts the Word, who causes you to even understand the Word. Amen. So I'm telling you that, that you can serve God and fulfill his word by allowing the Holy Spirit through your spirit to communicate with you. And so today I just want to say this to you. You really must hear God's voice if you're going to live in his will and succeed in his plan. I hear some cuckoo things. The way we were raised, you know, we had Uncle Baptist who said, God doesn't talk to people, you know, and we're like, ah, you know. Well, excuse me, he speaks to you through his word. And if you read his word, it said Holy Spirit speaks to you. And so then I'm standing here looking at a room full of witnesses who've heard the voice of the Lord. So I know that you understand that you're going to succeed as you hear his voice. A lot of people ask this question all the time. Well, was that you, Lord? Did you say that? You know, and just people who are following the wrong voice. Well, you know, the media, your own thoughts, the voice of the enemy. But we've got to hear from God, not all these other voices. So heaven is just sitting ready to demonstrate power. And so, you know, we're in the age of power, so we need to have this. We need to be paying attention to this. Now, how many of you would just like to genuinely experience more power? I would. And you can, but I'm telling you this, it's going to center around you hearing. You're going to need to hear. As I told you before, what Miss Billy Brim taught us, that the word heart, which is what King James calls your spirit, your heart, it's got the word hear in it, and within the word hear is the word ear. And so that's what your heart is. It's your inner ear. It's where you hear from God. And so you definitely can hear him. So I'd like to ask you to please listen very mindfully to what I want to tell you tonight. And I know you know a lot of this, but I just want to put this down tonight to make sure this really rings clear to all of us. So here's an important statement. The challenge of our faith is not our inability to hear God's voice. The challenge of our faith is our willingness to hear other voices. Okay, I'm going to say that again. The challenge of our faith is not our inability to hear God's voice. The challenge of our faith is our willingness to hear other voices. Because there's so many ideas and opinions and we can add this now, bullying. Thank God we got strong people around here who won't take the bullying. Amen. But you know, the people try to bully you into doing their will. You know? And, you know, what's happening is these opinions and these ideas, they're competing for our attention, but they're actually going for our affection. They want us to love. They want us to hook up with these ideas and go their way. So, you know, we just have to realize this, church. Whenever God does a miracle or something amazing in our life, he's always trying to anchor our affections into something we can't see. Okay? When you see someone get healed or you see a miracle, you see something unseen change something that is seen. Is that right? So God's trying to draw you in. Now, what's happening here? Well, the Lord wants to awaken your love for a world that you can't see. This kingdom of God, God's trying to awaken you, okay? He's trying to get your attention so you'll pay attention to this, and it'll be more important than the soulish realm to you and just your own thinking or all these other opinions or what the news is saying or I'm just going to say it like this, what you've figured out. Amen. So what's he doing? What's happening? Well, that he's awakening us. He's teaching us. He's training us on the superiority of that unseen realm compared to this realm. It's superior in every way. He's trying to show us the advantage that we would have by living from the other realm. You touch heaven, you'll change earth. Amen. Yeah, of course he wants the person healed. Of course he wants to give the miracles. But understand that God has all sorts of purpose in what he's doing. Just get beyond, wow, that was a miracle. Did you see what that person? I mean, they you know, they were just totally healed. No, there's more purpose in that. You just watched and learned and were trained that realm can do certain things. That just brought you to another place. Wow, look what God can do. I have no doubt that the realm changed my airline tickets for me. And it went the other way. Praise God. like, oh, that was coincidence. There is no coincidence. No, there's not even a word for that in the Hebrew. God did that. You're like, well, you know, that's not a small thing. That's $1,000 spent somewhere else. Praise the Lord. So Paul actually anchored into this when he said this. He said that things that you can't see are eternal, but things that you can see are temporal. You remember him saying that? And I think he made it real clear that, you know, the things that you can't see, that makes it very clear to me, they're going to last a lot longer, and they can actually override what's going on here. You got to know this. It can be overridden. So there doesn't have to be a conflict, but many times we live in this conflict between these two realities. I think we separate the natural from the supernatural way too much. Church, God loves your body as much as he loves your spirit. He does. He loves the things that you do in the natural. And not all of it. Praise the Lord. But he made this earth for you to hang out in. Okay? And so he's going to go with you to the car wash. He's going to be out there with you on the lawnmower. And when I say on the lawnmower, yes, amen, not pushing it. He'll be at the volleyball game. He's going to be at the soccer field. He's going to be at the deer hunting. He's going to be at the golf game. He's going to be there. He's not opposed to you having some fun. He's not opposed to you relaxing. He wants you to have a good life. He wants to be there with you. He wants you to laugh at silly things. And he's not mad when you're having fun, and hopefully you don't have fun at someone else's expense. Moving right along. Anyway, the point is, there doesn't have to be this conflict between the two realities. What we just need to understand is that one realm can supersede this realm. Or right now, while I'm talking, I feel like this realm is superseding that realm. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I hope you're getting this. I think we can, if we'll start getting this in our thinking, I think that we can really have some good success. So it's like a partnership. You're supposed to work together. So stop thinking that the natural is evil. Okay. The natural's not evil. No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the natural's evil and the supernatural's good. No, the natural's not. The natural's just the natural. Yeah. It's just the natural. There is the effects of the curse and sin still in the earth, but it's still just the natural. And you have a choice. Not everyone has a choice. People that are not born again don't have a choice. They're going to go the dark way. If you're not born again, you're going to go the dark way. But if you're born again, you actually have this superior place on the inside, this spirit on the inside that gives you the right and the choice to go the right way. Amen. That's good, isn't it? That's something, that's why we want people to be born again. Amen. And also because they'll go to heaven and then not go to jail or hell. Amen. Mm-hmm. So, you have God on the inside of you, giving you revelation, helping guide you through this life. Now, he is the interpreter of the word, is he? He talks to you in the word. He talks to you where? Where is it going when you're taking in the word? Is it just going in your mind? No, it's going into your heart. He's talking to your spirit. Most people, when God talks to them, they don't hear an audible voice. Some people have, or it was so strong they felt like they did, and that's very real. But he's talking to our spirits. And so you hear your own spirit speaking to your soul, which is in your mind, will, and emotions. So almost every leading in everyday life will be a prompting, an impression, a thought, an inward witness, a leading, an unction of the spirit. He is in your spirit. God is in you. You're like, well, this is kind of 101, Pastor. Evidently, we need to hear it again. We need to be thinking about this so we don't start getting away from truth. Amen. So, the reason this voice sounds like you a lot of times is because it's you that you hear. And so, let me talk about thinking just for a minute, just in your thought life. So, I need to tell you something. You're not having original thoughts. Mm-mm. Thoughts come from somewhere. They're coming from somewhere. They're not just coming up in you. They're coming from somewhere else. Two places. Heaven or hell. And you were helped along the way from the time you were a little kid to think naturally, because revelation, now some people got a better start than others. Some of you got a better start than I did because you're younger. But you had a whole lot of help with thinking natural. Amen. Mm-hmm. You had a whole lot of help with grabbing hold of the wrong thing. Everybody's dealt with rejection. Everybody said something happened to them, and then the devil came in and said, see, you know. And so you've dealt with that all your life. But there's a way out of rejection, and it is Christ in the center of your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. So all the things that people do to you and say to you, and then you react and you say, I can't believe that they made me feel this way. They did not make you feel that way. They helped. But actually, that's something that was already on the inside of you. And so when you deal with it, after a while, you get to this place where you'll just go, well, you know, I'm all right. That's not, you know, you just don't take it. Amen. Some things hit harder than others. And sometimes it's going to take you a while to get over things. But what you do is you constantly put down imaginations. Fear comes with a frequency around it. It comes, you can feel it. You can feel, but you can put that down too. Amen. So, it tries to enhance and make you feel all strange and everything, but it's a lie just like anything else, that comes from the enemy. So, which everything really is, it starts with fear. Everything does it when it comes to the, dark side. Everything is about fear. Now, I said this, and I want to make a clarification here too as we go on down here. I said it'll sound like your voice when you hear the Holy Spirit. Well, in my life, I've heard other voices. That sounds bad. I've heard God speak to me in tones in Pastor John's voice. And I've also heard him, usually when it's some kind of face-to-face love thing, it's Pastor John's voice. And then sometimes I've heard Brother Copeland's voice, and that's usually correction time. And but I've heard those voices. I actually, one of my friends called me the other day and said, hey, Pastor Rocks, I just had an encounter with God, and he was talking to me, and it was in your voice. And I was like, okay, so we went on and had some things happen that were good. But so, you know, the Lord will use that to bring up people that are close to you or have been something to you or an authority in your life or some kind of relationship like that. And you'll hear their voice because what is it? Well, there's a certain meaning to that. There'll be a certain meaning. So you really have to pay attention to Holy Spirit. You can't just go, well, I don't know what that was. You know, you need to walk it out. And sometimes it'll take a couple of God winks along the way to figure out what all that was to put together, right? Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, but it's important that you become aware of these things. Now, 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Here's another version. This is Amplified. But the person who is united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. You see that word united there? That Greek word means cemented or glued together. Okay? So what's happening here is that we're joined to the Lord. We are literally stuck like glue. You and me, Jesus, we're stuck like glue. Yeah, y'all know I'm singing a country song. Okay. So Jesus said in John 14:23, if a person really loves me, he'll keep my word, obey my teaching, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home, our abode, our dwelling place with him. And so that describes that we're joined together. So we're not alone. He's right here. He's right here talking. So, and I think what will really help you a lot of times, I don't know if that was God or not. I just don't know if that was God. Well, what you want to do is get to the place that you do know when it's God. And so you're not just going, I don't know. So if you go, I don't know, then I seriously doubt that it was. Unless you're just trying to ignore a command that you don't want. But what's going to help you is this. This word, when you've eaten it and it's gone down into your spirit, it energizes you to the point that you're able to discern, according to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, that I'm getting ahead of myself on my notes here, but that's okay. That you can tell between soul and spirit. Amen. When you know, well, that was just me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that was just me. And so if there's a lot of reasoning going on, that's just you, church. Yeah. If you have to reason it all out, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, that's just you. God just speaks quietly and in these just wonderful, easy commands. Or he may ask you a question, but it's not going to be, well, if you do this, and if you do that, you don't do that. That's you. That's you. Okay? So, he may explain some things to you, but you need to get that inward witness. You need to get that unction. And you need to be able to compare spiritual things with spiritual. So, and the anointing of God will do that when you have the word. Now, when you're a prayer and you got plenty of word, you are going to perceive things and pray things that then have an interpretation. You'll be able to pick up things. You'll be praying along, and this is when you'll hear the voice of God. You're just praying along, and he'll say something, and you go, oh. So we're praying with the thermostats yesterday. And all of a sudden, I heard the Lord say, milk the cow. And I'm like, milk the cow? What are you talking about? Well, we had all had just a little running fun thing about buying a Mini-Moo. You know, a Mini-Moo, a jersey. And then I found out you have to milk it every day. No. I'm out, okay? So, I can't milk the cow every day. Okay, so we laughed about it and everything, and me and Deb and Claudia and Gabby were talking about it, and we laughed about it then, and I laughed about it with the staff and everything, because they're so cute. So cute. They're just cute little animals, and they're really good, sturdy little animals. But, you know, I don't have time to milk a cow every day. But then the Lord says this, milk the cow, and I'm like, oh, no. But what was he telling me? Okay, we're right in the middle of praying. What he was saying to me, if you would have been around and some of you were listening, remember, this is what he was saying. Every day, get from the realm what belongs to you. And what does the scripture said? I laughed later on that afternoon when I remembered Isaiah 55. Come and buy milk without money. And I thought about that. Just get in there and milk the kingdom every day. Get what you need out of the kingdom every day. So I milked the kingdom and got a nonstop flight today. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Whatever it is you need, the kingdom is available and he has the answers. Our well went down last night, and interesting. Chris, we just talked about this about Bill. The capacitor went out on it. And so me and John are out there fixing it, and we're praying. Okay, show us this, Lord, and show us this. And we did a few extra things and did it good. But, I mean, the Lord just came in there and said, and I was standing there and I said, John, open that up right there. He takes it apart. There's the capacitor broken. It's just broken. It was shooting a spark across, giving us a little bit of power every once in a while somehow. But God led us right through that. We actually had one there, which is another miracle story. But God led us right into that because we weren't going to do it by ourselves. He says, well, let's just use the Lord so we don't have to take all day. Because we agreed. I texted him last night. I said, prepare. And so he agreed with me, and I'm telling you, God just did it. God has a way, and he'll walk you through everything, and he'll actually give you the work. Church, everything has a key issue. Everything. Everything has a key. Everything needs a word. Everything needs a word. And then as soon as you find out what it is and you begin to use your faith and declare it, it's going to open that door. You're going to find the key issue and then the key, and you're going to move on through. Amen. So, praise the Lord. That word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So, you can hear the voice in prayer, as I said. I'm going to say one more thing about prayer right here. Every failure in life is a prayer failure. Yes, it is. Every failure is a prayer failure. Why? Because, church, if you're going to get something from heaven or from the realm, you have got to build the road with it with words. God will not do anything in the earth without words. We have to get that. You're not going to stand there and go, I know you know what I'm thinking. He does. But he created from Adam on that we dominate with words. And so you have not, because you ask not as a scripture. And so you're going to have to open your mouth and say something and begin to build the road so the kingdom of God can come on it. Right?
That's right.
And so it's a prayer failure. If you don't get it, you didn't pray it out so you could walk out on it. This is making me happy. I like it. Now, we just can't marry methods. You can't marry the two methods. You have to be mindful that you don't replace hearing from God with years of experience. Because a lot of it, well, this is how we did it. Well, but what's God doing? Because I'm going to tell you, and I'll use finances here, but good ideas will cost you money. God ideas are already paid for. Amen. Now let me mention this to you as we're closing here. When you hear the voice of the Lord, it changes you on the inside. And you can prove that by the life of Peter. He wanted to walk on that water. Now, so he said, can I come? I want to walk on the water. Jesus said, okay, come. He just says, come. Notice he didn't say, okay, Peter, I need you to do a 5-tape series on water walking. And then you're going to have to read all the confession sheets. And then when you're ready, you'll walk. No, he said, come. That word come lodged something in the spirit of Peter that made him walk on the water. Oh, but he fell. Now, wait a minute. You haven't even taken one step on the water. So he made it for a while.
Sure did.
Till he mixed it with the wind. He mixed it. He mixed it. See? But as long as he was walking on the word, he walked out on the word. He wasn't even on the water. He's walking on the word. He just walked straight up. This is what you're going to do. Come on. Walk on out here. He was able to do that. Fill up the bathtub every once in a while and try it myself. Praise the Lord. See, with that command came the faith that he needed. And that's because Jesus' words, Holy Spirit's words, Father's words are power packed with grace and anointing. So when God asks you to do something, it's because you can do it.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Come. You can do it. Walk on out here. See? And said, let me sit down, and if I'm walking, I'm this heavy, and the water, and no, no, no.
That's good.
Do we get off on this side of the boat, or do I get off on that side of the boat? And will Jesus grab me when I get there? No, it's just, come. Okay, he said I could, so I can. And you don't always need to know every step when you first take your first step. In fact, yesterday we were at the ribbon cutting down here at the well, I call it the Helping Center, Community Resource Center, and Mr. Seraph was there. And he said, please learn the significance of first steps. I thought, I'm going to give him credit for that one time. You need to understand the power in the first step. If you just step out sometimes and do something, there's power behind that, particularly if the Word of God told you to do it. You got an unction, if you got an impression, there's power behind that to get you where you're going, to help, to stabilize you, to get everything done that the kingdom needs to get done through you. All you have to do is start taking the first steps. The grace to do it will be there. Well, you know, he asked me to do something that is totally impossible. Exactly. Exactly. But he'll be there. If he told you to do it, he'll be there. Amen. It carries within it the power and the anointing you need to act on the word. But you have to receive it. You have to receive the anointing. You have to hear and respond. Hear and respond. Now, this is my closing here. Right here, we need to understand that we need to keep our peace. Through everything you're doing and hearing, you've got to stay in the place where you keep your peace. You start getting out of peace, it's going to go haywire. The Bible says there'll be confusion, it'll be a mess, right? Jesus always kept his peace. So what does that look like? What would it look like to keep your peace? Now, I want to use as a model something that you'll have to let me walk through it here as we're closing and get to the end of it so you'll understand that I'm still on the subject. But I want to use the raising of your children as a model, okay? Now, you can bring correction to attitude instead of behavior. Okay? Because if you can catch things in attitude form, you can actually prevent wrong behavior. Are y'all with me? Now, you can see a lot of people don't care about that at all today. Their kids are just doing whatever. In fact, they don't even care about correcting their behavior. He's tired. She's tired. I've heard that way too many times. They're this, they're that. There is something Virginia reminded me of this, and I've been thinking about it ever since she said this to me 3 or 4 weeks ago. She was talking about willful defiance. Willful defiance is different than just somebody, them making mistakes. Are you with me? And so you go after that willful defiance if you were to have a child like that. And some people do, some people don't. But if you can correct the attitude before the behavior, you're not going to have the behavior. This would take discipline on your part to actually accomplish this, which you can ask the Lord about that yourself. Well, let me say this. Have you ever seen a child and you tell them to apologize and they do this? I'm sorry. Have you seen that? They're not sorry. They're not sorry. But there is a way to get them to be sorry. And I'm going to leave that to you. Hey, this can tell you how to do that. Okay. Now, so you correct the attitude. Now, listen to me. Stay with me. If you correct the attitude early, then you won't raise a kid with a tood. Okay. Now, I said all that to say this. This is what you do with your own soul. Correct your attitude before it gets to behavior. Okay? Just correct your attitude before it gets to behavior. Can I give you a scripture? Guard your heart with all diligence. See, go, okay, man, if I say that, this is going to go. Where's this going to go? Okay? You know those times when you really want to talk back to that person? Yeah. But you know, let it go. Just let it go. There's no need to even go that way. Just, you know, just let it go. Yeah, I'm wrong. Praise the Lord. Because you know it's just going to be a war. Or you're going to end up saying something that you shouldn't say. So you watch your attitude. Well, do that in all these things. Watch, correct your attitude before you go. Is your attitude, I'm going to figure this out myself. Is your attitude, well, I'm only going to believe what they said on the news. Is your attitude, I'm only going to believe the doctor. Is your attitude, well, I want to do this, so I'm going to go ahead and do this, even though I know it's not really God's will. God's going to find a way for you to do everything you need to do without him having to go against how he operates in this earth. Amen. And we've all thought of things, but catch your attitude first and you'll save yourself from some behavior. So just determine, no matter how busy you are, and, you know, this year, no matter how many good activities you plan, that you're not going to allow them to crowd out your quiet times that you spend with God, that you're going to take a few minutes. Determine that above all else in these days and these months that you're going to find a spiritual resting place and talk to the Lord. And prayer is not just you doing all the talking to someone who knows all the answers. But actually, shut to the up. And let him say something. What do you think, Lord? What are we going to do? You could just get up every day and say that. What are we doing? What are we doing? What are we saying? What do you have on your heart today, Lord? And you wouldn't miss it because you'd be going right along with whatever the Lord was saying. Well, I don't hear anything. Keep doing it. You will. Keep putting the word in your heart and you will. And for goodness sake, don't be saying, I can't hear him. I don't hear him. I just don't. Well, you never will if you keep saying that. You're blocking the source. Jesus said, you hear the voice of the good shepherd, and you're not going to follow another voice. I'm going to agree with him. I'm going to hear Jesus' voice. Amen. He's going to say, go over and look for this. Go pick this tool up. Go do that. Go read this. Go do this. Call so-and-so. Stop. Don't call so-and-so. Yeah. Stop. Do not say this. Stop thinking about that. Yeah. Yeah. That's happened to me a lot. Why are you thinking about that? I've heard that. Why do you keep thinking about that? I'm like, oh, yeah. Forgive me, Lord. Get that out of my mind. What do you? Use your time to dream big. Use your mind to think of all the wonderful things that can happen as this superior realm enters into this natural realm. Amen. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you that we hear your voice and another voice we will not follow. We thank you, Lord, that you're speaking to the hearts of your people every day more and more. We thank you, Lord, that we hear your voice. And we know what to do. We know what to do. We can hear you. We can hear you. Say that. I can hear you. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hey, everybody. Thanks for...